Welcome back in the zone. Very plain speaking folks today. Earlier today we had Josh Dickinson, a PGA Tour caddy, talking very plainly about the situation over at Marion. We'll update you on the scores there coming up in a little bit. And that is LeBron James talking very plainly about how he played a couple nights ago. Tonight it is game four. Big one for the Heat. And really big one for the Spurs. The Spurs can, statistically speaking, win the NBA championship tonight. I don't think any team's ever come back from 3-1 in the finals, I would guess. I would be willing to bet money. I also want to give a pat on the back to the Pigskin Preacher, who picked Charles Schwartzel, who, despite winning a major in the past, did not get the ES he's always dreamed of. He is still Charles Schwartzel. He's leading the way at 300 par. He is tied for the lead at the U.S. Open right now with Ian Poulter. So the Pigskin picks Charles Schwartzel. Christina LeCure picks Ian Poulter. I didn't really pick anybody, so I'm not going to lose, but I'm certainly not going to win. Your worst-case scenario guy right now is a guy named Roger Tambellini. He's an Italian-American. He is 8 over par through 10 holes. That's not so good.
No.
He better get busy, or he is not going to be kicking it this weekend on a very wet course at Marion. We will update you on some other scores before the end of the show. Matt Couch will join us coming up in a little bit. Randy Dixon joining us. He's the director of the Prior Center. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
It is good to be here. Who do you like tonight, the Heat or the Spurs? Because I know you've been studying this very closely.
Oh, my gosh.
You got a 50-50 shot. And if you're wrong, it doesn't matter, because I've been wrong many times. In fact, I picked the Heat the other night. They lost by 38.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking Heat, maybe.
Okay. They have to have it. If they don't play desperate tonight, LeBron James is dead to me. Congrats again to the Chicago Blackhawks, who pulled off a big victory last night. When hey, Matty T, when Matty C arrives, let me know.
You got it.
We will get back into some entertainment in a little bit as well, but Randy has gone to the work of pulling some great historical clips from some of the interviews that have been done. And again, the Prior Center is not only...
Yeah, these are more recent interviews.
These are,
usually I've come on the show and played old stuff from the KATV archives.
Why you got to bring up old stuff?
Like the Brooks Robinson thing earlier today, mm-hmm. from 66, but these are more of the recent interviews that the Prior Center has done with some noted Arkansans, noted Razorbacks specifically, that I wanted to share.
So where do we go next?
Well, this was in 2007, an interview with Frank Broyles, and we're talking single platoon football.
Yes, players who went both ways. It is a lost art for many situations. Unless
the offense and defense.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Although, so let's listen to Frank Broyles talking about
this
that.
This is not a Jason Collins conversation. No, this is strictly about football and playing offense and defense, yes.
Rules makers believed that you should play, if you're good in offense, then you should be made to play defense. You can't do just what you can do good. You had to learn something by working on what you're not good at. And so that's why they made you play both ways, even though the pros had gone in one platoon football. But I played both ways, and we played both ways here until 1962. I put in the triple team system. Couldn't substitute but once in a quarter. So the Big Red, the top team would play the first half of the quarter. Then we had the Big Red, which played defense, and the Tush Hogs played offense. And Jerry Jones was on the Tush Hog team playing just offense. Then the rules makers said, no, that's not good. We're going back to single platoon football. So we went back to all the way single platoon football in 63. In 64, when we won the national championship, we came out with a way that we could substitute the defense and take a five-yard penalty. And it beat Texas, if you remember. So we ran out there to do that, and Texas didn't get off. We got a five-yard penalty, and 2 downs later, we hit Crockett for the winning touchdown. Twice they went back. In 1953, they went back to one-platoon football. In 1963, they went back to one-platoon football. The rules makers just said that we are not a team of specialists. We are a team of learned. Football is a team you're supposed to learn basic principles of life. That was their theory.
How about that?
Yeah.
How much different would football be today if guys had to play both ways?
Yeah. And Bobby Crockett, man, he was something.
How about that? I guess I never heard the story before of not being able to substitute unless you took a penalty. So it was against the rules.
I didn't know that either.
Is that crazy?
Mm-hmm. But, hey, he took it.
Exactly. And it worked
and
out
fine. It worked,
fine.
Yeah.
It did work out.
It worked nicely.
We played some clips from Clyde Scott earlier. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to go to here?
How about Buddy Sutton? I know him because he was friends with my dad. He's a Little Rock attorney.
Yeah.
But he was a Razorback in the late 40s and early 50s, and I think for a brief time he was drafted by the Baltimore Colts in 53, but he just has some comments about Razorback football in general, and he was interviewed in 2011.
I guess the year I went up there, Barnhill had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, he had a slow, mild case of it. As you know, he continued for athletic director for years and
yeah.
and looked like he was pretty normal. But it was coaching was too tough. And the people were kind of clamoring for a more exciting pro-style team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up there under Barnhill for a year, and then Otis Douglas came from the Philadelphia Eagles, and I had all three of my playing years under Otis Douglas.
What was he like?
He was a good man, good fellow. Did not relate, in my opinion, to college boys. He was used to
men,
the pros, and didn't instill the emotion and discipline into the college game that you have to have. I don't care how good they are, you still have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I thought I played with the most loaded team maybe they ever had.
Well, let's talk about that team.
Talent-wise, and didn't win. But the class in front of mine was really the strong class.
Mm-hmm.
That had Pat Summerall, Dave Hanner, Fred Williams, Bob Griffin, wonderful, wonderful, ready-made pro prospects. We didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it. But all those people made the pro team their first year. You know, just great, great football players. And the class behind mine was Lamar McCann and Floyd Sagely. And then in my class was Lewis Carpenter, who was a splendid pro player for years. Played with the Packers, and just an ideal football player. We had all of those and didn't win. And you know, we should have won most of our games. Even if they didn't feel like playing.
He was throwing out some pretty big names there.
Without a doubt.
But they didn't win.
We don't use the word splendid near enough.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Quick question, then we're going to talk to Matt Couch back in the studio. He is hanging out in the Fury Electric studio. We'll get Matty T, Matty C. Thomas says, is there a contact number to donate pieces of history? We have many family articles pertinent to Arkansas history. I guess that's not something you guys are doing specifically here, or are you?
What?
Taking Arkansas artifacts if it's something that's applicable to
well,
history.
Well, that or special collections here, but,
okay.
but they could certainly contact us at priorcenter.uark.edu on our website.
Okay.
Or they can just email me.
What's your email address?
At Randall D. RANDALLD at UARK.EDU.
All right. I never thought you'd have a UARK email
me
address.
Either.
what's the